Welcome everyone. Pastor David here on Sunday the 13th of June, just a week or so away from us, gathering together once again in church. And our opening song reminds us to reflect on the wonder of Jesus Christ to each believer. How lovely he is. Wonderful Saviour and Lord is Jesus Christ. Let's come to our God now through our Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, all those things that were included in that song, we echo and reflect that our Lord Jesus is to us. All of that, our living Lord, means to each one of his children. And so we pray that you will be with us now as we seek to thank you and to praise you and to worship you, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, Triune God, we bow before you, lost in wonder, love and praise. Amen. Now, as I did last month, we're going to include June's birthdays together. Apologies to Terry that his is a few days late. He's already had his birthday, but hope he had a good birthday, Terry. And so for Terry and for Peter, our music leader, that Peter, we send you our greetings.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, I just thought I'd just do another line, especially for Terry, so that you didn't feel left out. An extra happy birthday to both of you. Now, if you've got your Bibles and could turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I want to read to you this very well-known account. As I speak to you today on the question, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? So Acts 16, and we'll begin reading at verse 22. Then the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the other people in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. It's a well-known story, well-known account. This Philippian jailer was probably a retired Roman soldier. Most jailers in the Roman Empire were retired soldiers. And Paul and Silas were here in Philippi to plant a church. But as usual, they encountered much opposition, and after they were badly beaten, they were put in this local jail with feet in the stocks. And they were held in the inner dungeon right down at the bottom, held in pitch darkness. We know that because the jailer had to call for light when all this happened. And yet, we find them singing praises to God at midnight. Oh yes, their circumstances had changed, but God hadn't changed, the gospel hadn't changed, and so they praised him. And then there was this great earthquake which smashed open the prison doors, and the jailer thought the prisoners would have made a run for it. And he'd been charged to watch them carefully, and he knew he'd be in terrible trouble and terrible punishment, and so he was about to commit suicide, when Paul calls out to him to stop. "No one's escaped. We're all here," he says. And the jailer calls for lamps, rushes in, sees the prisoners, falls down on his knees and asks Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved. And Paul and Silas reply, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they told him about Jesus and the gospel. Let me just read that verse 32 to you again. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the other people in his house. After hearing that, he bathed their wounds. They were obviously bleeding from the severe beating. This wasn't just they'd had a slap or two. They'd been severely beaten. And then he and the whole of his household who had listened to Paul and Silas explaining the gospel respond to the invitation to believe into Jesus, and they were baptized. The jailer then invites them into his home for a meal, and the section ends with the jailer and the whole of his household rejoicing, full of joy at this great salvation. The story starts with Paul and Silas full of joy, singing praises to God, and it ends with a whole group of new converts, full of joy, singing praises to God. What a dramatic change. They were now completely different people. You know, it worries me when I meet people who say they've become Christians, and yet there is absolutely no change in their lives. But when a person is truly born again, they change, and people can see it. So I want to speak to you this morning about what it means to believe in Jesus. This term, believing in Jesus, is so badly misunderstood. So I want to speak to you about that this morning. I want to seek to persuade you to believe in Jesus in the biblical way if you're not already a believer. And if you are a true Christian belonging to Jesus, I want to encourage you to keep on believing. So this believing in Jesus, the Bible says, is absolutely essential. It's essential because without Jesus, the Bible says, you'll perish. You'll enter an eternity of torment without God when you die, and you'll be without the blessings that you now enjoy from God. You see, the Bible says at present that both the believer, the Christian, and the unbeliever are in receipt of some of God's blessings. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous, the Bible says. But for the unbeliever who refuses to believe in Jesus right to the end, the blessing and goodness of God will be lost when you leave this world, and all you will have is the torment of hell. And so Paul says, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. You'll be rescued from that lost eternity. A few weeks ago on the BBC News, they showed a delivery of ventilators that had been sent from the UK and were arriving at a hospital in India. And the camera showed them being unloaded and unpacked. And then it went to a lady who was outside the hospital, gasping for breath, barely able to breathe, seemingly just moments away from dying. But now, as they rushed forward, being put on a ventilator, and she began to breathe again. And she was saved. She was rescued. So this believing in Jesus is not some kind of little mind game, intellectual thing. You say, oh, well, yeah, I believe about Jesus. Of course I do. It's not that. It's not a kind of hobby that people take up, you know, and go to church. Well, it makes them feel a lot better as they walk to church occasionally on a Sunday. Not that at all. None of that will do it, because it's about being rescued from death, from perishing under the judgment of a holy God. Without Jesus, everyone who has rejected Jesus in this life will perish in the disaster of hell. And that's why I want you to be rescued and for you to believe. But you might say, yeah, I've heard all this before. I'm okay. I don't need rescuing. Well, be careful when you have an attitude like that, because it's rife with danger. When the Titanic struck that huge iceberg and began to sink, everyone on board felt the shuddering impact, which was a real warning of what was about to come. But hardly anyone bothered at all. Well, they were on board in the light and the warmth, and they were having their meals, lovely meals from the menu. They were enjoying this amazing trip. The bar was full, still serving drinks. Folk were in the ballroom, dancing and laughing and joking. They'd no worries at all. They were all okay, they thought. Except that the ship was sinking. And every one of them were minutes away from being plunged into the icy waters and drowning, perishing. And life's like that. So full, so busy, doesn't feel as though there's any danger at all. But the Bible tells us that all of us are doomed without believing and being rescued by Jesus. So why will people perish in the hands of a loving God? Because those hands are also the hands of a holy God. And people will perish because of sin. All of us have turned our backs on God who made us for himself. We ignore him, live life without him, we insult him, blaspheme his name, disobey him, and that's sin. And sin has its consequences. It ends our relationship with a good God forever. And Jesus came to this world to rescue us from the judgment of God against sin, the judgment we deserve. And so everyone needs to believe into Jesus to be saved and to be rescued. Incidentally, in the original Greek, there is just one word that we translate in our English Bibles in three or even four ways. We translate this one word as believing, as trusting, or having faith in. And so faith, trust, believing are the same. And so the way to be saved, to be rescued, is to believe, is to trust, to have faith in Jesus. And the Bible's best known verse there in John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that all who believe, trust, have faith, will not perish but have eternal life. But what does it mean? What's entailed in believing in Jesus that rescues a person from perishing and brings salvation? Well, the first thing, of course, is that you've got to hear about Jesus and about his offer of salvation. Now, the jailer would have heard about Jesus because he would have been told why Paul and Silas, what they were in prison for. And he probably would have heard their prayers and their singing, their psalms. But hearing like that isn't enough. And so when I read that verse 32 to you, you notice that Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to him and his household. You can't believe in Jesus without hearing the truth about him. And we call that the gospel. I wonder if I might ask you, if you have in your mind, I suppose not perfectly, but if you have in your mind a set of words that you could use to tell someone about Jesus, to explain the gospel in 3 minutes, say. Well, it could go something like this. You could say the Bible tells us that Jesus is God's promised Messiah. He's God's promised King. And he demonstrated that he was God's King by all the powerful signs and miracles that are well documented in history, like his control of nature, healing the incurable people, the sick, even raising the dead. It was obvious who he was, and yet he was killed and put to death on a cross. It wasn't an accident. Jesus had to die in that way. He came to die. God had planned it so that we, the guilty ones, who ignore God and live our lives without him, We, the guilty ones, could be forgiven. Every one has abused and rejected and scorned and ill-treated God, the God who made us, and so we stand under his judgment. And Jesus came to take that sin guilt, yours and mine, on himself as the head of humanity. He took the curse of sin on himself and thereby lifted it from us if we believe and trust into him. God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus had defeated sin and death, making it possible now for people to be rescued and saved when they come to him. That's the message, the gospel that people need to hear. But not just hear, they need to accept, take it in for themselves. That's why Jesus described himself as the bread of life. You've got to take it in, you've got to act on it by trusting, living, giving your life to Jesus. You know, I keep saying this to Church on the Green, that I could go into Shipley Station and I could stand there and I could hear the announcement clearly that the train on the platform is going to Leeds. I could believe it 100%, hear it and believe it, but it's no good. It would never get me to Leeds unless I act on what I hear and trust myself to the train and get on board. So faith, belief comes through hearing. Don't assume people know the Christian gospel. They don't. And so we tell the unbeliever not to put their trust in going to church. Don't trust in having faith. Faith doesn't save you. It's only Jesus that saves you. Faith is the instrument. It's the eye that God uses to bring you to Jesus. But we're not saved by having faith in our faith. We're saved by Jesus. But now just a word to close. Let me say a simple word to those listening. I'm sure that's the majority who are Christians and believe in that biblical way in Jesus. Those who have come to him in repentance and trust and surrendered their lives to him. And I say this brief word to you because all around today, unbiblical concept has crept into the church's teaching that if you pray a prayer and you believe in Jesus, well, that's it, you're in. And you can now carry on with life as before. And the Bible stands so clearly against that. That's not believing in Jesus. That belief doesn't bring salvation. True belief begins by believing, trusting your life into Jesus. It's not your life anymore. Jesus takes it. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on. As you trust Jesus hour by hour, day by day, year by year, with a life surrendered to him. So the Apostle Paul says these words, "The life I now live, I live by faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me." So you believe, yes, but you go on believing. Through the good times, you rejoice and praise him. Through the ordinary times, you live for him. Through the storms, through the doubts, through the disappointments, through sorrow, and even through death, you go on believing in Jesus. And so, Christian, run the race to the end. There's no prize in a race if you don't finish it. So believe in Jesus. And keep on believing. That's what I want you, and I want I, myself, to do.